So I have with me Freya Zaltz. She is a lawyer with the BC Ministry of Attorney General. And I have known Freya for many years, having served on the board of Vancouver Co-op Radio with Freya. And I know a lot of her work in the campus and community radio sector. Thank you for joining us today, Freya. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So as I mentioned, we're going to be exploring the ecosystem of community radio stations in British Columbia and across Canada in the coming months. And we kind of wanted to lay some of the groundwork for that exploration. When we are talking about campus and community radio stations, I know that there is a national association that kind of is an umbrella organization for these radio stations. Can you tell us a little bit about the NCRA, the National Community and Campus Radio Association?
Sure. The NCRA has been around since roughly 1986, and it's got something like 111 members. I might be off by a few on that. But when I first started volunteering with them in 2003, they had 18 members. So a lot has changed in the last 19 years. And they are an association of English and bilingual community radio stations. So there are two other associations in Canada. One is an association of French stations within Quebec, and the other is French stations outside Quebec. And they're both smaller. The NCRA is the biggest community radio association in Canada. And their members are mostly licensed stations. So there are stations that have a community or campus radio license. And in the last 10 years, those are basically the same thing. There are some very slight differences between community and campus. Formerly, there was a bit more of a distinction between them. But they all have to be incorporated not-for-profit organizations. And then there are a bunch of policies that they have to adhere to and regulatory requirements. And they have a small number of members that are either not licensed yet, but working on getting licensed, or that are broadcasting on the internet only, and don't actually plan to or can't get licensed because of spectrum scarcity or other reasons in their location. But as long as they meet a number of other criteria about how they operate, they still qualify for membership.
Interesting. Okay. I had assumed that the NCRA was strictly radio broadcast stations, but that's interesting to hear that there are online stations there as well. Is this like relatively new, last couple of years, or how long have online stations been a part?
The last time I had a number was in 2012. I was involved in a copyright board proceeding that related to tariffs for use of copyrighted music, and the tariff proceeding was exploring whether different rates should be charged to online stations versus terrestrial broadcasters. And at that time, there were five members that were doing online broadcasting. I don't think there are a lot more now, but so it could be as many as 10, but it's not more than 10.
Okay, interesting. We hear about podcasts having just, exploded. I was going to say balloon, but it's way more than that. Exploded in the last, well, certainly 10 years, but even in the last couple of years. How do podcasts and people just making their own productions online, how do they compare with, say, an online internet radio station?
Well, online, I mean, there aren't really regulations for online broadcasters, online stations, online podcasters. They can't be licensed if they're only online. In terms of the, if you compare podcasters, independent podcasters to the NCRA members that are internet only stations. The difference is that the NCRA members are run by an incorporated nonprofit corporation or society. There's just a different name depending on which province they're in. And then they have to have, you know, board of directors that are volunteer, and they have to have community representation, and they have to have community input and participation in not only the governance, but other types of decision making and into programming content and offer community access and so on. And, you know, independent podcasters don't have to do any of those things. They can just sit at their computer and make whatever they want. So that's the main distinction. But that said, community radio stations, both AM FM stations and internet only stations, often make podcasts. Usually the podcasts they make are just kind of downloadable versions of their broadcast content. But, you know, sometimes they may have a programmer who's a podcaster who makes a podcast and then gives it to the station to broadcast. So there's this kind of, you know, interweaving of activities. But the station itself has all those characteristics in terms of being an incorporated nonprofit and then having this community participation.
That's really cool. The regulatory, I guess the regulations that govern the production of radio, like most of it is through the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC. Can you tell us a bit about the CRTC and how it functions and what its like role is in controlling, I guess, and regulating broadcast?
Well, it's an arm's length governmental tribunal. So it's independent. It has commissioners that are appointed by government, but they have to apply and meet certain criteria. You know, it's kind of like a job application process. And, you know, it's supposed to be merit-based. And they then there are 12 commissioners and then, you know, a whole office full of staff. And they're responsible for regulating currently broadcasting and telecommunications. So the telecom side involves things like cell phones and broadband and all that kind of stuff. And then, and you know, rates and access and, you know, everything related to those issues. And then on the broadcasting side, TV and radio. There's a process right now underway where the federal government is amending or rewriting essentially the Broadcasting Act and the Telecommunications Act because they don't really, I mean, they were written before the internet even existed. And so there's kind of, you know, there's partly this artificial distinction between telecommunications and broadcasting that isn't quite so stark anymore. The two are kind of running into each other. And then also there's this gap in terms of internet content, which is not regulated at all. And the government would like to regulate it to some extent, partly because there are issues about Canadian content and issues about advertising that are affecting existing Canadian broadcasters. And there are funding issues. You know, there are internet broadcasters that are selling lots of advertising and making a large profit and not sharing that profit with Canadian businesses. And in broadcasting and radio and TV, they do like commercial broadcasters have to share a portion of their profits with some nonprofit initiatives, which include organizations that develop radio talent and artists and support artists. And then they get to do, the commercial broadcasters get to do some discretionary spending in those areas as well. And some of that money right now on a mandatory basis goes to the Community Radio Fund of Canada, which is a foundation that was created by the three Canadian campus and community broadcasting associations. to benefit their members. So some of that money from the commercial broadcasters goes to the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and they dispense money to community and campus radio stations, currently mostly for project work, but they can be projects that expand what the stations are able to offer to their communities, including, you know, journalism and news programming. And so anyway, so all of that is kind of being examined by the federal government right now. And I, you know, the bill had its first reading, and it's, I don't think it's had a second reading, and it's at the committee stage, and there are edits being done and lots of lobbying. And it's not clear to me exactly what's going on right now. At some point there will be new legislation, and then all of how the CRTC operates will probably change to some degree. Right now, for radio, they have their regulations called the radio regulations, which set some requirements for how all radio stations operate. And there are also regulations for TV that are separate. And then they have policies. And so there is a campus and community radio policy, which outlines specifically what the expectations are for those stations with those licenses. And then they make decisions that they publish on licensing applications and license amendment applications. And so those decisions then are, they're kind of precedential in terms of how they operate. So you can see from reading the decisions what kind of important factors they consider to be ones that have to be taken into account in granting a license or not granting a license, and so on.
So if the government is rewriting this act right now and trying to bring in, it sounds like bring kind of under their control some more of what's going on kind of on the internet with podcasts and broadcasts that aren't necessarily covered by this current CRTC regulatory framework, how do they intend to kind of, I don't know, how do they intend to police these things, for lack of a better word?
Well, I don't know. I mean, part of it is that the CRTC as an independent tribunal is given certain powers, and the government isn't necessarily going to take those powers away. So usually, as with any legislation, usually what the government does is in the legislation provides kind of a broad framework for, in this case, for broadcasting, broadly speaking, and for how the CRTC operates, broadly speaking. And then the CRTC gets to sort out the specifics itself. So, you know, the legislation, for example, has as definitions for the different types of media. And one of the things that we've been talking about at some length lately is what is the correct definition for community media. And right now, the Broadcasting Act only mentions community media once, as far as I know. And that's at the beginning. It says that there are three elements in the Canadian broadcasting system: a public, a private, and a community element. And so the community radio sector has been pushing the government to through the Ministry of Canadian Heritage to include a definition of community media that works for us in terms of, you know, defining us accurately, so that if there are benefits to be given or certain constraints or requirements, that the CRTC will then set that they properly apply to the right group of stations or broadcasters or media organizations.
So, I mean, one of the questions I did want to ask you as well is, and it sounds like you're starting to frame it, is what is independent media in Canada? We hear a lot of news stories about independent media being, you know, silenced or clamped down on in Russia during the conflict with the Ukraine right now. I think I'm curious to like get a better understanding from your perspective of what that is. Like, what does that media landscape look like in that type of a situation versus independent media that does exist here? And why is that important?
Well, I think the word independent means independent from corporate interests or independent from government. You know, it's not being run by, it's not a government radio station. You know, in Russia, they have government TV and government radio, and they provide a bunch of propaganda, and that's what people listen to and see. And the absence of independent media means that people never hear, any, at least now, that they're not operating. People aren't hearing other voices, other perspectives, other sources of information. And it's important in a democracy. In Canada, it's important to have independent media because in order to ensure that citizens receive kind of balanced options for where they might get news and information, it's necessary to have some that are not beholden to corporate interests or dictated by the government. But what's meant specifically by independent media, I think it can be a little bit vague. I mean, it's just that separation, really. And so, you know, then there's this further distinction of community media, which has this structure and accountability to the community. You could have independent media that is just, you know, a group of people who are getting together and producing news content. And they might do it for all sorts of different reasons. They might get paid, they might not get paid, they might have professional qualifications or not. Some independent media are just, you know, one person, or there could be a whole organization. You know, in the United States, there are independent media services, you know, NPR and so on, and they produce independent media that then is broadcast by a variety of stations all over the country, and they just kind of distribute, they produce programming and then make it available to any affiliate station that wants to use it. So it's a nonprofit source, but it's kind of a group of, I don't know really very much about the structure of that in terms of how it operates, but I assume there's some kind of nonprofit at the top of it. I think really in any democracy, it's important to have some degree of that. And it's important to allow that to develop. So, you know, there just needs to be a space for it, and then people will figure out how to fill the space. And some of it will be high quality and some of it won't be, but at least then people will have a choice about what to access.
Right now we're seeing a lot of very vocal right-wing media, right-wing for, again, lack of a better term. I'm thinking of like the Rebel News model of media production. Would that fall under the category of independent media, or is this corporate?
I don't know what their structure is, actually. So I don't know if I can comment on that fairly. I don't know. I mean, if they exist to make money, then they're not independent media, at least in my definition. I don't know, maybe other people have a different definition, but if their purpose is to be a for-profit business, then I wouldn't count them in that category.
I guess what I'm gathering from our discussion is that really community radio is a unique organization-based model where you have checks and balances and democratic control of an organization, and mostly if it sounds like for nonprofit purposes.
Mandatory for nonprofit purposes. You can't operate you could call it we have encountered some stations that call themselves a community radio station, and they have a commercial radio license, and they're, you know, selling ads and making money. I mean, well, that's even an unfair distinction because community radio stations sell ads and make money, but their goal is to break even, or if they do make a profit, to reinvest it in the organization. And, you know, there aren't like shareholders who take home a windfall if they make extra that year.
Okay. And then, so my understanding now is that we have government acts that control really the way that television or radio and television and telecommunications happen in our country and what sort of laws govern them. And then the CRTC is there to basically be the as you said, the commission that ensures that these laws are followed and presumably has consequences if they aren't.
Yeah, and they set some of their own, like the regulations are all created by the CRTC with public input. So if the radio regulations, for example, require amendments, then the CRTC will have a public proceeding where they solicit public input on amendments to the radio regulations, and then they get made. I guess the government has kind of, you know, a kind of administrative role in making that happen, but it's the CRTC that's responsible for the regulations. And the regulations are the more specific parts of legislation. So the act will say, you know, really broad things about like principles, basically principles that are important for broadcasting and kind of structural elements that would apply to broadcasters as a whole or media as a whole. And then the regulations would say, you know, you must broadcast, you know, this percentage of Canadian content during this type of radio programming, and you must, you know, the ownership must work in this way, and you must fill out this paperwork, and so on. So there, the CRTC does the kind of nuts and bolts of actually ensuring that the broader legislation gets kind of enacted and filters down in a practical sense.
Do you have a timeline for when you think the Government Act, the new one, will come into play?
I don't know. I don't have, I haven't been following it that closely. I sometimes give input on submissions that the NCRA is going to make or, you know, positions that they want to take in consultations with government or at committee hearings. But I don't work day to day on that stuff. So I don't have the most up-to-date information on what's happening.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Freya. I really appreciate your time and sharing with our audience the really interesting and complex landscape that is radio in Canada. And we're looking forward to sharing more stories about community radio stations making a difference. Thanks for joining us.